Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for another opportunity in His presence.
Hallelujah.
So let us have a word of prayer together. Father, we want to thank you. We bless and appreciate you, Lord. We appreciate your love. You appreciate your care. We thank you for this beautiful day you have given unto us. It's the day of the Lord, the day the Lord has made. And so we thank you for making us to rejoice and to be happy in that day.
Amen.
So we adore you, O Lord, even as we go into your word together. We ask, Lord, that you will speak into our hearts.
Amen.
And that your word will bring deliverance to our soul.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we just want us to look at two passages together this morning. The first is in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. After this, that's from verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jews went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the chief market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepping was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Without be made whole." The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am still coming, another step down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took off his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Praise God. Well, I want to look at this passage. It said there was a feast of the Jews. At the time of this feast of the Jews, so Jesus is always at work, while the Jews are always celebrating their feasts. So he was not mindful of their feast, but he was mindful of his father's business. So what he wants to do is to do his father's business. Well, the world call it Easter, but we are doing here, we are doing our father's business. You know, not celebrating whatever they are celebrating. But because of their life pattern, because of the feast, their feast had no regard for human beings, had no regard for somebody who had been in a bad condition for 38 years. Their feast had no regard for such a man. How he should be made whole on their feast day. How dare you? That's all what they were interested in. But we thank God, because we are talking of Jesus. You know, the man, Jesus, who is master over feasts. So, he went there. But when you look at it, a man in the same condition for 38 years. And the problem of this man, you know, he saw that, he said, these people, you know, a market in part of Jerusalem, you know, those days, those who offer sacrifices and all that, so you have a place where the sheep that have been brought for a particular who can satisfy the condition for sacrifice, because it must build by the dam for particular days, so that they have looked at it and they can confirm that this sheep has no blemish. So since the one you are bringing from maybe from your village, nobody knows about it, so the priest will be interested in this one that they are sure of. So this was the state where, you know, the setting for this man. Now, he said he came to a particular place, you know, Bethesda, which has to do with a deliverance. But the problem is that for this man, nobody thinks of deliverance for him. So, when Jesus saw him, he had pity on him. But the system was not interested in what is happening to this, what was happening to him. Now, he said, in this place that is supposed to be for deliverance, he said, lay many impotent folks, many impotent folks. He said, define them. An impotent is that man that cannot bring forth life. So we have them there. We have the blind, those who don't see. We have the halt, you know, who cannot stand straight. They are weak. Then we have the withered, you know, those who cannot use their limbs. They are all there. It's a waiting for the moving of the water. Now, is it not speaking of the church today? Because while all the jumping and the jamboree are going on, but in the church of God, we now have the impotent. Yes, they have been there. They are not productive. 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, as it was in the beginning, so is now, and so shall it be. That's their state. Unproductive. Impotent. And they are not useful to themselves, neither are they useful to anybody in the house of God. And they are just there. They are partaking of the feasts. But if this was the only case, well, there are several of them. Say we have the blind. Many church people are blind. They don't see anything. And because they are not seeing, they are not making progress. And look at the scriptures. When God called Abraham, he said, look east, west, south, north, said, look. He said, as far as your eyes can see, I've given it to you.
Hallelujah.
See, spiritually, it is what you see that you take. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John 14, that was what he brought before him. Unless a man, John 3, unless a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you are not born again, it doesn't matter. Come to church, partake of the feast, do everything. You are not seeing. And it is what you see that you inhabit. It is what you see that is your portion. That which you don't see, sorry, nothing will happen. So that's why God, in wanting his people to see, he said, you must be born again. And he went on that when you are born again, you begin to see the kingdom of God. And this kingdom, how far you can see, will help you to get, that's how your soul will inhabit, will inherit. And he went on to say, when a man is born of water and of the Spirit. So he's encouraging the people, you know, that you are born again. He says, it's not enough. You must be baptized properly in water. Then at that point, you are surrendering, you know, to God in baptism. And you say, I'm now ready, you know, to go with these people. You know, the Pharisees in the scriptures did not baptize people. So when John came, you know, John's father was a priest. So he should have followed the priest in doing all the things. But his calling was, come out. Come out. And it pleased God to use the son of a Pharisee, of a priest, to start the call out business. So he went to the wilderness, and those who needed baptism, through baptism, those who want to begin to see, went to him in the wilderness, and he baptized them. To the extent that even the Pharisees, some Pharisees came there, and he had to ask them, what have you seen? Have you seen anything that is making you to come out? So our ability to see is important. And it is what you see that you inhabit. It is what you see that you inherit. If you are seeing nothing, then you are inheriting nothing. The kingdom of God is seen first. It's seen. Then you walk into what you are seeing. So this is the condition, you know, of these impotent folk. They are seeing nothing because they are blind. So, and because they are blind, of course, nothing. But when you are seeing, God gives you the grace, you want to enter into it, and because God is showing you a goodly inheritance, you want as many people around you to follow you, you know, to inherit what you are seeing. But the blind people are seeing nothing. And so as much, even if others are seeing, they ensure that they block them and say, there is no road there. No road there. You must follow me. And that is the situation. And that's why the Lord Jesus says, leader, the blind, who is leading the blind. What happened to them? All of them will perish. But there is a deliverance that God is giving to his people. He's opening our eyes. It's to say, see. And when you see, oh, then you can begin to walk into it. That was the case of that man who saw. They were asking him, believe me, where us? I was blind. But now, I can see. What is important to me is that I can see. And that's brethren, that's what is important to us. Well, here we have feast day, the house of the Lord, blind people who cannot see. It's a terrible situation. And not only do we have those who couldn't see, there were others there. That's their heart, they cannot stand. Bent permanently. They cannot stand. So it is spiritually. There are many people in the house of God who cannot stand in the truth. That's what we are saying. Every time they are bent, crooked. And the crooked, they are very terrible because they cannot walk well. So that's why you wonder. Some people have stayed 10, 20 years as a Christian, but he cannot stand straight. There is no truth in his mouth. Everything about him or her, you know, is negative, things that cannot be trusted. It's because they are halted. So the halt cannot stand in the house of God. And it's like their lives belong to the people God has declared that these ones should not enter into the kingdom of God. So that's why all what God is asking them to do is that they must be healed. You must come to the place of healing. And healing is repentance. To confess so that they can stand, you know, for that which they have known, received, and for that which they are trusting in. So we have those who are withered. Those who are withered. It means the truth of God's words, they cannot hold it and they cannot walk in it. And it's a terrible situation for you to know. You know, when the scripture was talking about those who know the truth, you know, and they are not able to walk in it, you know, or those who knowing the power of God, you know, what you believe, God can do this, God can do this, can heal, but is it effectual in your life? So you cannot walk in what you are hearing. So it's one thing to hear the word. God, especially this time of many people with itching ears, they want to hear, but they are not ready to walk in the revealed word. But God is not interested in those who hear, you know, without doing. Doing is the issue. He wants you to do what he has called you into. So, ability to stand. And then, if a hand that drooped down, that's what the Bible is talking of, withered, hand that drooped down, that, you know, just like that, it cannot be lifted up, must be healed. So are you in that situation? God is willing to heal you so that you can begin to stand and walk in the word of God. You know, it's not hearing, but it's walking. It's important. So that the word must become flesh in us. Praise God.
Amen.
Not only that, you know, in that verse 3, he's also talking, you know, that all these people are waiting for the moving of the water. The water speaks of the world. So many a time, this spiritual condition can only be healed with the coming of the word of God. So the word of God is the one that will bring the healing, you know, to those whose life has been with hand drooping down, not able to walk in the revealed world, if you don't have any truth in your mouth, if everything about you, you know, is not pleasing God. But the word of God brings liberty. So it's now talking that you can see this person said these old people were waiting for the moving of the water.
Amen.
The word of God, you know, say we have people who are waiting, and God started showing how it is. In a particular season, he said the angel will come to trouble the water, to bring forth the water. You know, when the water is just cool and calm there, nothing is happening. Because any water that is not moving, is not doing anything, it means that there is trouble. It's dead. Because if for nothing, life must spring forth inside the water. So God is showing us that is my life pleasing to God? Or is it just cool Christian that you know, you know, you don't want to be troubled, don't trouble me. You just want to have your life the way you like, you like it. Nobody is disturbing your life. But God is saying unto you this morning that you need the angel to trouble the water. Because the troubling of the water is what brings life. And that as many as can just jump in. If 10 jump into that water at the same time, the 10 of them will be healed at the same time. If it's only one person that steps into it first, that's the person that will be taken care of. What is God showing to us? The word of God is living. But when you hear it first, you must believe it.
Amen.
So, believing in then it begins to work for you. That's what he's saying. You want the word of God? You know, when the Lord Jesus was talking about a man, he then said, a man in whom there is no guile, Nathaniel. The people of God must come to that place where Christ can look at us and say, men and women in whom there are no guile in their life. So if there are still guile in our life, then there is trouble. There is trouble. So it means that the word of God must come to us strongly to trouble in our waters so that healing will be brought unto us. And look at it in that verse 4. It says, then whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. It doesn't matter what disease. Is it a man that had withered? Yes, you have not been able to walk in the word of God, but that if you just believe at first. Like, you know, the life of Peter that time when the Lord Jesus used his boat. You know, and now, there was a man, a fisherman, mature fisherman. He knew all the rules. That the fishing is in the deep, it's in the night. But now, you are in the shallow part, and it's in the morning. And somebody is telling you, he said, cast, and you look at it, this young man, this is my job. I've been doing it all the days of my life. Yeah? I know how many times as a young man I've cast my net in this shallow place and caught nothing. And it's even worse if after you have gone into the deep in the night, you caught nothing. You came back. Then in the morning, somebody says, three of you, so that you can catch a draught. He told them what they would catch for a draught. A draft, which means your open will be filled up. You will tell the boss, you just say, what according to your word. For me, I won't do it. Because I know this is not the place to cast net. And this is not the time. Two things. Not the place, not the time for casting net. But against all hearts, he chose to cast the net. This is the place we must come to. We must believe. My experience shows that this is not the time to do this. Yes, no problem. That's your experience. Throw away your experience. You know, this is not the right time. Throw away that your right time. But trust in the time of Jesus. Because most men miss the time of their visitation. Because what they call their right time was not the right time of him who made them. And Jesus came. He rose and he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what he was telling to his people. He said, because we did not know the time
of your visitation.
You will not miss the time of your visitation, brethren. Because there's a time when God is visiting his people. You see, that's what happened to Elimelech and Ruth. They left because they had a little problem, you know, in Israel. But they have forgotten that they were in the house of bread. That's Bethlehem, house of bread. Not only were they in house of bread, they were in Jerusalem. That place of double fruitfulness. Where they, you know, they are in the house of Judah. Praise! And they left all that so that they can go to Moab, to go and eat the bread of Moab. The bread of Moab may look fresh, but in it is poison. No one eats it free of charge. You will regret it. So leaving the house of bread to what we call the house of plenty is a problem. So, yes, they went. But what happened? Within 10 years of their sojourn, they lost the husband, lost the two sons. Then, the wife, Naomi, was left alone. So, going to Moab is not an alternative for Christians. It's not an alternative. Yes, yeah, it's a mirage. What they thought they saw was bread. And that's what the devil does. He will offer you the bread with all the additives, but will never tell you that there is poison in the bread. So that's why those who eat this good fruit will end up drying because of the poison. And it is the poison that will work more than the fresh things you are seeing. That's all. So God is really talking to his people. This time we are in is the time to run with the world, not the time to consider going to Moab or any place for that matter. You see, because when you leave his presence, there are so many things that might follow. Because the devil is our arch enemy. And I was asking God, why is the devil so my enemy? What exactly is between us? And God began to show that devil, because he conceived in his heart, he wanted a particular place in God, and God cast him out into outer darkness. Then God said that God promised that he will use man to teach the devil the fear of God. And so it's like there was a betting. When God is not, you know, God says, I have confidence that man will serve me. And will show forth. And Brother Paul was saying that God is going to use man to teach principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. So it's like the case of a Job. So God has said, okay, try him. But I know one thing, that my servant Job will come back. You know, I said, that is the issue. So, and from day one, God was just looking for a man. Just a man. And so, he created Adam. And God protected him. When you look at the rivers, God gave him four of them. They were rivers that were to bring blessings unto him, to his soul. And the devil came and deceived man. And why the devil thought he was rejoicing? No, God said, okay, I keep telling you that you also have men and women. So, he brought forth Abraham. Abraham was a man. And Abraham pleased God. And so the battle has been on. And so that's why in the lineage of Abraham, so that's why when you are looking and why God will link, you know, Jesus there, is that through this lineage of Abraham, my friend, a man will stand.
Yeah.
That will defeat the devil.
Amen.
And it was well demonstrated. And now God is saying, this is just number one. See, all these my sons and daughters, I will also make out of them those who will teach principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. This is the challenge. So when you know that God has a high premium, a high priority on us, there's a high trust, then I must not disappoint God. It's just like a child whom the parent love. Anything they sent you to school, you know, and you are now in the university, and your parents are one day expecting that my son, my daughter will become a doctor, medical doctor, an engineer, and a lawyer, this. Then when you are in school, sometimes it is tough. You have to read, you know, students of time, you bring water, you keep, say, sleep, you must go. You know, all because I don't want to disappoint my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But many a times, can we do, when earthly sons and daughters knew that they should not disappoint their parents,
mm-hmm.
but we who are Christian, does it ever occur to us that we should not disappoint God?
Mm-hmm.
Every day we are willing to just disappoint Him for a muscle, you know, of bread. Anything that, as the devil dangles it, you throw away everything just to, not to please God, but to please the enemy. But brethren, we are in a time in which the things can no longer be as it used to be. Because the time is short. And the devil knows that even his time too is short. So that's why he's doing everything. And so that's why Christianity, you know, is losing steam. But God is there waiting for a man. So he has a high premium on us. Just still waiting for a man. And that's why the man who overcomes, that's why he who overcomes, he said, inherits all things.
Okay.
Every man, everyone that overcomes, inherits all things. But it's also bad news too. For anyone who is not overcoming, is losing all things. There is no half measure. Not that you lose some and win some. That's the world game. But the game with God is you either win all or you lose all. But we pray that we'll be among the overcomers.
Amen.
Who will win all things.
Amen.
Because the devil is saying that, let's play a game where you win some, you know, that God will win some, he devil will win some. But God knows that the day we submit to Satan, we lose all. But devil will never tell us that one. If Adam and Eve knew that they will lose all in the twinkling of an eye, all their joy, everything will be gone, maybe they would have been more careful. And that is where we are. So we must win all. There's no place for losing some and winning some. And this is the call of the hour. So when Jesus saw this man who had an infirmity 38 years, he knew that something must be done. Now, here was a man looking for just one thing, healing. And now healing was brought unto him in a question: will thou be made whole? Simple question. And what was the answer? Yes. No. That was all. Complain. He refused to answer his name. Oh, the impotent man, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. While I'm still coming, others step down, they are made whole. The Lord Jesus, no, we're just waiting, listening to all these complaints. I knew that if he continued to wait, his situation, he just said, rise up, take thy bed, and walk. That was all what he wanted. Would that be made whole? Yes, sir. That was all that was required of him. But complain. And it's because when the word comes, we don't believe it. If we believe the word, the answer of our soul will just be, yes, I am willing. That's it. But most often, we doubt. And it's this problem of doubt that is the problem of man. Doubt. And we can color it and cover it with different dimensions. Not coming for. We can't be made whole. All what is required is to say yes. And we'll have just said, be thou made whole. But he said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And that brought some challenges later on. Because when he now told him, take up thy bed. Now, this bed for 38 years had been taking this man, and nobody complained. So it has become what the world expects him to be doing. He's on the bed. He's on the bed. 38 years. Nobody complained that how come that, you know. But now that in it, just within few minutes of him taking his bed, it was like, you are not supposed to be in this state. The state we expect you to be is that the bed is taking you. So how come that you take off your bed? Brethren, don't ever think the world loves you. Never. I think if for nothing, the man knew that day that the world never loved him. Stay on your bed. It is well with you. If possible, they will give you hands. So that you continue to stay on your bed. This world is a world to walk in, to fly in. Not the one somebody will come and be telling you, is it your church only? Everybody is doing it. Yes. Everybody might. But me, I will not. That's what God is expecting from you. So you must make up your mind that those people who are saying so, they don't love him. They just want you to be in your former state of the bed carrying you. So, when he said, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. That's number one. I said, on that same day was the Sabbath. That was the trouble. It was a Sabbath day. He shall do no work. But they have forgotten that Jesus is working because his Father is working. You know, the Sabbath is made for it's made for man. The man is not made for the Sabbath. And he let them know that On Saturday, my father works, and I work. What that means is that the Bible, when you look at the Bible, it says you shall do no servile works. It's not saying that you shall not do work. That's why, even in the Old Testament, it says, if your horse should fall into a dish on Saturday, you pull it out. It was permitted. But you will not go and become a farmer on the Sabbath day. You will not go to sell your wares on the Sabbath day. Because those ones are servile works. So there are natural works and there are spiritual works. And God wants you to do spiritual works on the Sabbath day. But the enemy will say, you shall do no work. On the Sabbath day, you shall not be made whole. On the Sabbath day, you shall not be delivered. God forbid, pardon. On the Sabbath day is when deliverance should come to the people of God. That is on the Sabbath day. And so that's what God is showing to his people here. For the man who has been on the bed on the Sabbath day is now carrying the bed. See, carrying your bed, it's a demonstration of victory.
Amen.
You know, over health and sickness, you are carrying your bed. Your bed is no longer carrying you. Yeah, it's a place of overcoming. So God is, that is the place God is calling us onto. It's a place in Him where you are overcoming. So where you are carrying your bed, you are the one who it demonstrates that you have control over all these things that have been pulling down. Yeah, it's good. Those comfort, the bed is supposed to be a comfort for the man. But I don't think lying on the same bed for 38 years is much of a comfort. That has become a bad comfort. But the devil doesn't care. The people of the world will not care. You know, as long as you are in that state, it's good for them. But we thank God. Because God is not seeing you lying on your bed for 38 years. All what he's saying is that you should have victory over those beds you have been lying on. So that you can carry them and you can lift it up and to say, I have victory over your bed. So this was what the man was doing. And then of course, they challenged him. 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was killed, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It is the Sabbath day. And the Lord of the Sabbath said, rise up, walk, and take up your bed. Now the question now, whose word will I believe? Because this is what must come to us. Which of these counter things will I believe? You see, the word of the master that says, take up that bed and walk. All those that are saying it's unlawful for you to take up that bed on the Sabbath day. And the Lord of the Sabbath is saying unto me, take up that bed and walk on the Sabbath day. And those who have not made the Sabbath, who are not the Lord of the Sabbath, are saying it's unlawful for me to be free, no, to have victory on Sabbath day. Brethren, it's important because religion has become a problem. And that's what we've been demonstrated here. And the world is being brought under subjection by the spirit of religion. Because it has become the word of our fathers now, rather than the word of God. So who should we believe? The word of our fathers?
No.
Or the word of God? So brethren, let this ring our hands that we must believe God rather than man. We believe God rather than man. He answered them, he that made me whole. That is all the answer that you need. He that made me whole, he that delivered me, he that set me free, he that gave me victory, you know, over my bed, is the same one that has said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. You see, two things which the man has not been able to do, because you cannot take up a bed you are lying on. You cannot take up a bed you are lying on. You cannot. And you cannot be lying on your, and the second thing is that you cannot be lying on your bed and be walking. And these are the two things this man has not been able to do. And the only way for him to walk and carry his bed is that he must come out on from this bed he has been lying on for 38 years. Irrespective of our situation, brethren, Christ Jesus is calling us out of our bed.
Amen.
Yeah, it might look like a comfort bed, but it's a comfort bed of affliction. Pie to eat. He said, come out. So he came out from that bed. So he was able to rise up. He walked. And it was not just walking alone. He carried the same bed he was walking on and raised it to the world that I have the victory in Jesus' name. So, brethren, let's see it. That when the world will come, the world system will come, and they begin to bring all their idiosyncrasies and trying to deceive, showing as if they love us, just know that there is no love coming from that. Just like a farmer, you know, who's rearing chicken, waiting for the appointed time to slaughter it. You feed it. You feed it. You give it all manner of care. Yes. No. If somebody, a small child, wants to play around with it, you refuse. Don't touch. Because it's for a purpose. That's the care of the world. That's where it ends. You know, so that we become a mince meat for the devil. But Christ is saying, rise up and walk. Take off your bed. This bed of affliction, take it. You have the victory over it. Now, this is the first. The second passage is like it. And that's the one in Acts of Apostle, Acts chapter 3. Very similar. No, Acts chapter 3. From verse 1 also. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave it unto them, and expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Praise God. Now, at the hour of prayer, this hour of prayer, it means that, is it not abnormal that at the hour of prayer, Nobody was thinking of praying for the man at the gate. At the hour of prayer. And which gate? Gate beautiful. In the gate that is beautiful, sat a lame man. Even if the gate was beautiful, that man that sat there lame, was it beautiful? The lame man, was it a beautiful sight to behold? So, it means that something was wrong. The whole world was happy to be bringing a lame man to the gate beautiful to receive arm. Now, this arm is the arm meant for the lame man? No. That's where the problem is. It's for those who claim they are taking care of him. So it's not making money for them. Because it was making money for them, no one cares about just remain there. As soon as you are making money, it's good for you. Because how many of the money will it? It won't go to market, it won't, because it must be carried. So he's the one making money for them. He's the one working. All the others are living off him. What happened? That is how the devil wants us to be. That's how the world wants us to be. You are there making money for them. So there is one cultural thing. Because you have the money, they'll come to you, bring the money. You keep doing that. And the day God opens your eyes to say, no, I don't want to go this way, then the whole hell is let loose against you. And they pretend as if they love you. No, it's because you have money to bring. And God wants to heal. Because that's what happened to this man. Yes, gay, beautiful. Every day they will bring him at the hour of prayer. That is the terrible aspect of the situation. Hour of prayer. Nobody ever thought, at the hour of prayer, let's pray for this man at the gate. And that was not the only problem of this man. The second problem is that the man cannot enter into the temple. You know, they will tell you that the temple is holy, and so the lame cannot enter in. And the only thing that will make him enter is for him to be healed. And nobody is thinking about how he will be healed. So it means that at the end of the day, nobody loves him. That will say that this man must enter into this temple. And not even did they even conceive it in their mind that, okay, since the man cannot enter, let's carry this man into the temple. No. So they say he will defy the temple. So he just goes, stay there at the gate. Many people are sitting at the gate, beautiful. But their situation is not beautiful. It's nothing but beautiful. All things they are. But this man, a day came that God had mercy on him. He said, just sat there as usual asking for alms. And Peter saw him, looked at him, and he told him, you don't have what you are looking for, we can't give you. But what you are not looking for is what we will give you. Because God knew that that was his need. His need is that this man should rise up and walk and enter into the temple. He must walk in the things of God. Not, you know, sitting around and knowing the things of God. He must walk in them. That is the purpose in the heart of God. That as God shows or reveals things to us, we are able to walk in them. Our feet are strong, you know, to walk in the things of God. That's the only way we can please God. Not by sitting and hearing the word at the gate beautiful. Yeah, the gate might be beautiful, But the person sitting at the gate is not beautiful, because it's lame. And what does it mean to be lame? You can be in the house of bread and you are hungry. That was the case of this man. He was in the he was at the temple gate. He was lame. Because lameness speaks of inability to walk in the things of God. And most of the times, we as Christians must recognize lame people in our midst. Because one, they are not able to walk in the things of God or please God, but they have the ability, you know, to spoil things. Even if you try to make them walk, by the time they threw their leg anyhow, if you have breakable things, it will break all of them. That is the problem of the lame. Because we are not talking of physical lameness now. We are talking about spiritual lameness. So it must be appreciated. So when you see such people, it's not contending with them. You can see this man here. He was not there so that he would be healed, so that the lameness will go. He was there so that he can get money. And to get money means that you must pity him or her. There are many people in the house of God that they are there just to be pitied. Oh, my situation. Always talking about their situation. So when you see them, God is saying that this lameness has only one solution. It must be healed. If you begin to give gold and precious things to them, no, they won't appreciate it. Unless the lameness is healed first. And that's what Christ demonstrated through Peter here and John. So when we're in the house of God, there are those who are at the gate looking for pity party. You know, so that their situation, all what the church must do is to pray for such a one. Don't give him what he wants to be pitied. You're giving him alms. But what God wants him to do is that he be healed. So he must be healed. So that was what he was given. So then that man can enter into the temple. And you can see this one here. When Peter looked at him, what you are looking for, pity party, we will not give you. What we are going to give you, you know, is that which God says we should give you, that your faith be healed. And was he jumping at the offer? No. So Peter had to grab him and pull him off. So don't expect that such people that are spiritually lame in the church will grab the offer of deliverance. Mm-hmm. No, they will not. But it's you who must grab them, take them to the throne, pray for them, so that the lameness might be healed. But when they are healed, oh, then you now see the beauty of God came before out of their life. Because that's what happened here. So he said, the man who walked, was that enough? He was lifting. Was that enough?
He
was praising God. But this was a man, no praise will have come out of his mouth. If we continue to give him what he wants, the highest, thank you. Thank you. That's all. He will not praise God. Yes. But God wants him to praise God. And that is that when he is healed. So when he was healed, so what happened? He jumped up. He praised God. And he was able, you know, look at verse 7. And Peter took him by the right hand. By the right hand. That's the right hand. See, there is a right hand that God is addressing in the peculiar situation of people that are lame. There is a way you think you are helping them, you will spoil the situation the more. So you have to, God must show you. You see, what I say is a right. But of course, you know that right has double meaning. It could be a physical hand, it could be doing something the right way. So you can see that the right thing was done. So what happened? They lifted him up. That's we're looking at verse 6. Now, chapter 7. Lifted him up, took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up. Because that's all what we want to do. So you grab the right hand. Remember that what you want to do to help that person is that you want to lift him up, not lift him down. Because there are some lifting that you want to do, we can pull the person down. Rather than you achieving your purpose, you achieve the opposite. So what he did was that he said he lifted him up. We are looking at verse 7. It said, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So when you do it the right way, and the person is lifted up, so what's going to happen? The ankle bone will receive strength. And that lack of strength is why he was not walking in the first place. So, and he must walk. And so that's why in this particular case, what happened? Verse 8. And he lifting up stood. So he stood. He must stand. So ability to stand in the things of God. Because he had been lifted up, he started standing in the things of God. So you hear the word of God, you want to walk in it, you believe it. And that believing will work for you. He will begin to work for him. So he said, look, he said, he stood, walked, and then entered with them into the temple. That was what he had been denied all these years. That which he had been denied all these years, where he was able to walk into the temple. So when you are helping the weak, just remember that you have one purpose. So that he will walk with you into the temple, into the presence of God. And that's what the entire message is all about. You know, that people that will walk with you into, you know, because there is no head, no bishop, nothing. Everybody, we are helping one another. So enter, you know, into the temple, into the presence of God. He said, walking and lifting and praising God. That which he had not been able to do, he was able to do. And not only that, I said, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which has happened unto him. Now, the people were only surprised. They were not praising God with him. That's not what it does. Oh, so it has happened. That's all what they were saying. So it has happened. So. But they were not really thanking God for him. They were not thanking God for him. So don't just think that the world will rejoice with you at your achievement in God. If you are not careful, they are going to say, as only it is only him that God is blessing. God is also blessing me too. No, that's the problem of the world. So, brethren, we are in a time for rising up. A time to rise up. A time to please God. A time to walk in the revealed truth of God. A time, you know, to appear in his presence. And only know that God is interested in you. And the world is not interested in you. Don't ever think that. No? Because it's God that is leading you to a place he wants you to be in him. Unless we choose to walk with God, no, the world will want to abort the plan of God. But many people, God has lifted them up, but the world will come, you know, wondering and see who asked you to carry your bed. And that might become a problem unto that man. The man will quickly, in fear, throw down the bed and lie again on it. A man that has been made whole, you are not lying on the bed. Because the world has created a bed for him to lie on. God has healed him, but they are telling him he should pretend that he has not been healed. See, it is you and me that can demonstrate that God has done it.
Yes.
And you enforce the victory that God has given you.
Yes.
You must enforce it. Nobody will enforce it for you. So that man, what has God said? Carry your bed and walk. Irrespective of whatever that person is saying, I'm carrying my bed and I'm walking. Those two things you are not being able to do, and that's what God has done. Said, carry your bed and walk. But they are telling you, who asked you to carry your bed? It's unlawful for you to carry your bed. But it's not unlawful for you to lie on bed for 38 years. It was not unlawful. It was unlawful to be sick. Not unlawful, you know, to make it. Not unlawful to suffer. Not unlawful. No, that's the word for you. But when deliverance comes, they will tell you it's unlawful for you to do this. Because it's against the tradition of the elders, the tradition of the church. It's against the principles, against our catechism. Everything. Anything that is in your catechism, then the only answer you can give is that it's against God. So who do I believe? Man of God. So, brethren, let's rise up. Let's follow and walk. Because that's what God is saying. We have been lame for a long time. We have been lame at no other place than at the beautiful gate. And that is not the best of commentary. It is time for us to arise. Carry that which has tied us down and carry it in victory. And show to the world that I'm no longer on the bed, but now I'm free and I'm walking. You know, that is the place God is calling you to. So, God bless you.
Amen. Wisdom.